Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Well, good morning, Amazing Grace. Let's give God a shout of praise in the house. Come on, is He worthy? He is so worthy. We want to thank and praise God for Facebook and YouTube that just joined us. We want to thank God for the saints that are here right now. Maybe they're still on their way, others. But we're here because God has called us here for such a time as this. Amen? Amen. And so before I go any further with our morning's message, please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's go here to the screen here. If you have your cell phones, put them on the silent in opposition. Here we go. I've entitled this morning's message, Surviving and Thriving in Perilous Times. Did you catch that? Surviving and thriving. We can thrive in perilous times if you're a child of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 1 through 11. Then we'll do a expository teaching on these verses. But I went deep diving on this one. So we're going to look at some things that prove we're in perilous times. Amen? And so here we go. Verse 1. But know this, that is, in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Look at verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come into the knowledge of the truth. But as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also that resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith. Nothing's changed, saints of God. It's still like that. Look at verse 9. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, meaning teaching, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love and perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Did you catch that? This is Paul sharing his heart that he went through so many trials, so many tribulations through perilous times, and yet God saw him through. How many believe that God will see us through today? Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen? Amen. So I want us to look up here on this screen. We're going to look at several slides that I found to kind of pinpoint on what our times look like right now in the midst of us being fulfilled by God's plan. Do you know God has a plan for you? Do you know He's going to succeed His plan? Nothing's going to fail His plan. Can I get amen? Amen? And so let's go with our first one right up here. Look at this. But know this, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. And they're here right now upon us. Here we go. Look at this. This photo right here, I took it off a news clip. What are these lines for? Are they waiting to go into a drive-in theater? No. This is in Baldwin, California, 4 days ago, May 13th. 4 days ago. It was 5 miles long, three to four cars deep, all getting food. There's no food up in the LA area. Getting food. This was a food line. And look what kind of cars they're driving. These ain't the homeless. Cities right now are running out of food. Why do you think your burrito costs $15 now? 18. Oh, 18. We got 18 now. Because we're starting to see a trend here. We're starting to see something that I'm looking at it. It's perilous times, but not for the saint of God. Can I get an amen? So let's look at this. Americans are getting behind on their debt at a very frightening pace. So do you know people that are behind on their auto loans, medical bills, credit cards? Well, not. I know some people. Man, they're like this. People that call me say, hey, you know what? I'm trying to buy a house, but can you have my credit ran? And they ran the credit, and they are so debt heavy, it's impossible. Look at this. If you think prices are high now, just wait until the shortages really start kicking in. Look at this. Food, gas, everything. Everything is skyrocketing. I used to think, man, we could save money on gas at Costco. It's $7 at Costco now for gas. And creeping higher. And it's creeping. Look at this. Nearly 400 earthquakes rocked Southern California. Will a cataclysmic seismic event soon rip the San Andreas Fault wide open? This is just, what, last week? 400 little quakes in California. People are still saying that that big one's going to hit LA. But 400, just a few days ago. Look at this. Mega drought. We just experienced the driest first 3 months of a year in U.S. history. There's no rain. There's no rain. Why do you think Palisades burned? There was no water. That whole area in L.A., the Palisades, they burned because there was no water, and there was no water in reservoirs. All the water was gone. We're looking at this right now as we speak. Amen? Look at this. California is facing a fumigation as fighting erupts in the Middle East and the Strait of Hormuz remains closed. Look at the gas. Right here, don't even look at this gas station right here. What is it, $9 now? $9 a gallon in the corner right here. Costco's always been $2 less than these guys over here, but Costco's $7. $6? When was the last time you were there? My goodness. Yeah, but when's the last time you saw it that high? Never. Never. You know, this is for people that have fixed incomes that don't have maybe jobs or whatever, they can't drive their car no more. Look at this. 55% of Americans say that their financial situations are getting worse. That is an all-time record high. Getting worse. My goodness, my goodness. Look at this one. In 1985, the typical cost of a home in Spring Valley and the broader San Diego County ranged from $80,000 to $95,000. In 85, that's when I got into the real estate business. 85, 41 years later, the same house got older, and it's $650,000 to $770,000. Yeah, we're just talking about Spring Valley, and a townhouse is $525,000 to $675,000. But look, just 41 years ago, it was, what, $80,000 for a house. Jesus. We're living in inflated times like no one's ever seen anything like this. Yes. So, if this is the trend, then if you're selling something now, you better take the money and run. Because look at this. The biggest housing bubble in the entire history of the United States is in the process of bursting. So all those million-dollar homes, and it's going to crash to nothing. Then they're going to be worthless. If the market bursts like that, which it did at one time in the 70s, it'll happen again. Man, people are going to go, wow, why didn't I sell my house then? It's not going to be worth anything. It's going to burst. Listen, what is Newton's law of gravity? What is it? What goes up, what? Must come down. Those inflated prices have to come down. They will come down. That's why. Take the money and run now. Take the money and run now. Look at this. Layoffs. Foreclosures, breaking point, 1 million jobs suddenly disappear. You know people are getting laid off left and right? You know there's companies closing their doors? If you look in the malls, there's some empty buildings. One of the reasons why we're not in Bonita facility, they wanted $3,700 a month for 3 hours for one Sunday morning. Come on, do the math. Do the math. That's financial suicide. $3,700 for 3 hours. A 32% rise. Some Americans are now facing $1,000 power bills. You ever got a bill that's like $600 to $700? Yeah. It's like, what? What is this? Perilous times. These are perilous times. Look at this. A war has erupted on the streets of America, and it is going to end with martial law in major U.S. cities. You know, the one side, abolish ICE and ICE, you know, this and that. I'm telling you, I don't care what political affiliation you're a part of, we're seeing these things right before us erupt. There's going to be war in our streets. Chaos. Now, this message is not about doom and gloom. This is about reality. And if no one's telling you this, shame on a preacher like me. My. Look at this. I want you to look at that receipt. An old receipt proves that grocery prices have more than tripled. And a consumer bankruptcies are soaring. People are filing BKs left and right now. Look, milk was $1.29. Now it's $4.29. Look at bread. Bread was 89 cents a loaf. Now it's $2.99. It's $5. Yeah. Dave's is $5. Almost, no, wait, it's more than five now. Yes. And ground beef is more than $2.49 a pound now. I think it's $6, right? Wow, $8.99 a pound, there you go. Look at lettuce, 59 cents for a head of lettuce. Now it's what, $2.49? Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. This is San Francisco right now. This is San Francisco. shooting up in the streets, defecating on the sidewalks, trash all over the place. This isn't a place that you want to go tour. We used to love going there. When I first married Yolanda, we would go to San Francisco, and then we'd go balloon riding in Napa. I took her to Union City for these live apostolic concerts. Bishop Trout used to bring people from North Park all the way to Union City Apostolic Church, and they would do live recordings there. 5 years in a row, but we would first go to and get our hotel in San Francisco. It didn't look like that. 28 years ago, it did not look like that. Lord have mercy. It looks like that today. Help us, God. Help us, God. Jesus, help us. Saints, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. This references to the last days that reveals Paul's sense of urgency. It was urgent then, it's urgent today. Can I get amen? But warnings about the last days, saints of God, were certainly not unique to Paul. But they were difficult times regardless. He had to endure this. Look at this right up here. Hard to bear, dangerous, and troublesome. Paul's warning, saints of God, deserves our full attention here this morning. The last days began after the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and when the Holy Ghost was poured out. And we received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. That's when the last days started, right then and there, from that point on. So it's been 2,000 years now. And we all know that things are not getting better. Did you know that there's going to be total chaos before Jesus comes? Oh, yes. The last day will continue until the Lord Jesus Christ shows up. Paul could speak about the last days as a future event, emphasizing, saints of God, conditions present at the close of the last days. And we are in the last days. I just showed you right now what's happening in our nation today. Maybe you're not going through that right now. And I'll tell you why we're probably not going through that. And let me just say this. We may not go through that because we are His. Can I get amen? Amen. We are His. And He takes care of His own. Can I get amen? He will provide all of our what? All of His what? According to His riches and glory. Thank you, God. Yes. And so what we're seeing, what I just showed, is proof that we are living in the last days, saints. And it should not surprise us at all. The moral degeneration of society around us. When's the last time? And this is just what within the last 5 years. But child mutilation. A 3-year-old, a 4-year-old that can't even reason yet. Barely getting off diapers, and parents are sending them to the butcher mill to change their gender. And California is paying for it with your tax dollars. How corrupt is that? How insane? How immoral? But we're living in those times right now. It's right before us. We can't ignore it. We can't just close our ears, or put our head in the sand like an ostrich and let everything just go by us. The church needs to speak out. The church needs to cry out. The church needs to call what's sin and what's righteous. Can I get amen? Amen. So let's move on to the next verse. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Any of you know kids like that? I came from that group. Can I say that? Can I? Let me just. I'm gonna just rat on me. Saints, when people misdirect their love toward themselves and money, there could be no love left to direct toward others. When it's all about me, what can I get? What's in it for me? You ever ask some? What's in it for me? That's why, you know what? I've learned this. If someone ever came to me and said, "Hey, man, I'm really hurt, man. Can I? You got 20 bucks, man? I'll get you back." You know what? If I have it, I'm just going to give it. I don't want you to pay me back. You know why? Because if they don't have the money, you know, to pay you back, they'll avoid you because they're going to feel like I owe them something. And so now there's bondage there. It happens all the time. Just, you know what? You either say, "I don't have it, I'm sorry, let me pray for you that God will meet that need." Or if you have it, you give it. That's it. End of story. The moment you say, "Yeah, man, I need that next week," you won't see them forever. You just lost a friend. You just, that's how you get rid of someone out of your life. Oh, someone's getting some tips here. You see, moral corruption naturally results, as noted in the following characteristics, saints. To be boastful and proud pictures a heart full of pride that manifests itself in the outward boastfulness. You ever seen people that are boastful? All they do is talk about what they've done. Oh, yeah, or what they have. Yeah. Yeah. Such characteristics, saints of God, reveal a person's inflated self-importance and and necessarily leads them to looking down on others. "I got this. What do you got?" Yeah, man. Oh, well, come on. Oh, come on. Help us, Jesus. You see, my friends, the extent of moral degeneration can be seen in the rejection of the most intimate human ties with many blatantly disobedient to their parents. You know how many people that I know right now that has disobedient children that are wayward? So, you know, I pray for the parents. I say, you know what? The only comfort I could say, you know, we pray for them, but they're writing their testimony. Because we have to pray that God will leave the 99 and go get that one. Can I get an amen? They'll come running back. And when they come back, embrace them. Can I get an amen? Don't be mad because they was out there. Embrace them. Say, "I'm glad you made it back home. We miss you. We love you, man. You know, God has more for you." You start building them up, man. Don't tear them down. They were kicked by the devil all that whole time, thinking they had fun. They're not having fun. They're in total misery. Let's go to verse 3. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. You see, saints, there's going to be people that are unloving. You ever came across someone that's unloving? There's an old Motown song. "They smile in your face all the time, they want to take it, play them backstabbers." Remember that? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's who it was. Yeah, you know your oldies, brother. I'm very. Yeah, man. Thank you, God. Yeah, amen. So, you know, Paul said it best in Romans chapter 1. It's a passage where Paul listed the characteristics of people who refuse God and follow their own inclinations. Found in Romans 1:31. Look at this. He wrote, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. You see, a person that is operating in that manner have no clue that to God, that's worthy of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Be careful on who's your company. If you're hanging out with folks that, man, all they do is, man, is, yeah, man, they're still yakking it, sipping, cursing. Well, guess what God says? You approve their practice because you're hanging out with them. Take that up with God. Don't take it up with Pastor Fee. Don't throw tomatoes up here. I'll just duck and you can't hit me. But I want to read that again. Look at that. That those who practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Wow. That says a lot. That tells you who your company you hang out with. Because if they're unbelieving and they operate in untrustworthy, unloving, undiscerning, unforgiving, unmerciful, yappity yap, don't talk back, all that. And you're hanging with them? Jesus, help us. Help us, Lord. Help us, God. All right, look at this. Unforgiving people cannot allow for other people's mistakes or weaknesses. Can I get amen? They are unyielding, unrelenting, often are filled with extreme bitterness and anger over their own hurts. Some people are so hurt, they're so angry as well. And you can see that in them. They're hurt, but they're angry. They simply refuse to forgive. Have you met someone that just wouldn't forgive you? Even if presented with the opportunity, some will still not. I'm not going to forget what you did. Eventually, they become unable to forgive saints, even when they might acknowledge that they need to do so. And there are some people in our life, in my life, your life, they need to come to a place to forgive you. Then there are people who slander. You ever came across someone that slandered you? You know what slander means? That means when they're with other people and they're doing this. Did you know that? Help us, God. Help us, God. There are people who slander others and are quick to spread falsehoods. Slanderers enjoy spreading gossip and malicious reports about others. Malicious. My goodness. Cruel people, brutes, are like untamed animals or uncivilized people. They are insensitive and crude, even savage to the point. What do I mean by that? Try walking down the streets in East LA at night. Try and see what happens. Can I get amen? Amen? You'll find a brute there. Huh? You'll find someone right then and there that is angry. And all they want to do is hurt you. If they could take you out, they will. People will be so evil that they actually have no interest in what is good. They'll kill you without any remorse. They'll kill you without any affection. They'll kill you without a conscience. This is the day that we live in. How many believe we live in that day? We live in that day. Number four. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. You know, throughout the church around the world, even in our nation here, how many believe that there is sheep and goat in the church? Right? Sheep and goat. What do I mean by that? There are actually born-again believers in the midst of unbelievers, and yet they're in the church. Did you know that not everyone's saved? Jesus emphatically said this, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that right there separates every religion in the world. If you're not born again and not filled with the Holy Spirit, I believe this morning's prayer was what, Deacon? You read Romans 8 and 9 this morning in prayer. It said that if the Spirit of God is not living in you, you are none of His. And if you want to be reminded of that, just look at my license plates. Romans 8 and 9. That's what I have on my license plate. Romans 8 and 9. I've been flagged down for some folks. Hey, what does that mean? I remember I was on a stoplight. Someone pulled up. What does that mean? I said, if the Holy Spirit is not living in you, you're not Jesus. Yes. What do I mean by all this? There's a lot of people that know the Christianese. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Hallelujah. They'll clap right on time, and they'll be up there like that with you. And come home, kick the dog, and curse out the wife and husband. Oh, come on. You know people like that? They'll come home and treat you like a stepchild whose snots are running down its nose. Oh, yeah. They put on a facade in front of people. But when closed doors, the real person comes out. And this is the time that we're living in. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. You see, if you deny the power, you're saying, Holy Spirit, I don't want you in my life. I don't want you in my heart. Can I get amen? Can I get amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. We serve a mighty God.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, God.
You need a towel? You need a towel over there? You want to grab me a towel? They're right there in the second drawer right there. Second drawer right there. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Having a form of godliness. You know what the Bible says? Keep hanging with them. Is that what the Bible says? Is that what it says? Oh, man, it's okay. No, it says, and from such people turn away. Can I get amen? What are you doing hanging out with that? You see, saints, often these evil characteristics appear in a context of respectability. Religion is not gone. In fact, these character qualities are frequently exhibited by people known for their religiosity. There's religious folks. There's a lot of religious folks. I was a religious person before I got saved. Oh, yeah. I was to drive by a church, and I used to do this. I was a religious guy. Oh, yeah. You know, I would see a picture. I would go to someone's house, and you know how they have a picture? They think it's Jesus. I would look at it, and I would just go. I wouldn't look at it, thinking that that was really Jesus. Religious. Just being religious. Oh, yeah, I follow. Yeah, yeah. But see, when you deny the power of the Holy Spirit, you cannot live the Christian life. You cannot walk the walk. You cannot talk the talk. You know why? Because the real the real Holy Spirit that's living in you will manifest through your life. And you will see a great change. And you know what I love about all of you in here? There's been some great changes. Can I get amen? Huh? Huh, Brother Steve? Oh, come on. Come on. What happened when the booyah fell on you? Huh?
The anointing and the power just fell.
He was immediately delivered from crystal meth.
I thought crystal was awesome, but hey, he got nothing on the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. Never been the same since, huh?
That's right.
Come on.
That's right.
Woo, thank you, God.
Yeah,
listen, when you get a hold of the Holy Ghost, He will change you from the inside out. Can I get an amen?
Right.
He'll give you a new heart, a new mind. He'll give you new desires. And guess what? He'll find you new friends.
Yeah, right.
He will find you new friends. You don't have to hang out with those old folks that curse and do all that and up to no good. And all they do is criticize you and yell at you and verbally abuse you and hurt you. You ever had someone that just curse you out? And they're supposed to be your spouse. Come on. There's something out of order there. Something's out of order. Somebody don't have the Holy Ghost. Can I get amen? Because the Holy Ghost won't do that. The Holy Ghost will manifest love, peace, joy, love, gentleness, kindness, respectfulness. The Holy Ghost will allow you to uplift that person. What can I do to serve you? What can I do to bless you? What can I do to help you? This is what we need today in the church, is a Holy Ghost revival. Hallelujah. We got to stop playing church and be the church. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. We need, hallelujah, a paradigm change. You need to bring those folks that treat you wrong, bring them to the altar. Hallelujah. They need a taste of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Wherever they're going, they're not getting it there. Hallelujah. You need to bring them where, hallelujah, the Holy Ghost is. Can I get amen? Where truth is spoken. Hallelujah. Where conviction is spoken. Hallelujah. Without conviction, hallelujah, there is no relationship with God. Hallelujah. God has to expose those things so that we can surrender those things. Can I get amen? Ooh, these are in my notes. This is God speaking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you. There are folks that will chew you up and spit you out. Hallelujah. And have no consciences about it. They have no heartfelt about it. They think they just did themselves a service by blasting you. They don't even know that they hurt you and they cut you deep. Hallelujah. I'd rather get shot in the leg than have someone curse me out. Because that will linger forever. Just knowing what they said about me and what they said to me. A bullet wound will heal. But the heart. Whoo. Especially if someone that you love, that you're supposed to trust. Jesus, help us. Help us, God. Help us, Lord. Let's move on to verse 6. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. Wow. Help us, God. Help us, God. Pray that you're in the church for the right reason. Can I get amen? For the right reason. Your relationship that you are to press, to chase after, is the Lord Jesus. The relationship with Him is what's going to bring those other things in your life. Can I get an amen? One of the things that I've seen in 37 years in the church is someone that just barely gets saved. They're new. They're brand new. Praise the Lord. They're new. And the next thing they do is they go look for a mate. Instead of falling in love with Jesus, instead of learning to love Him and know how to love Him, so He can teach you then how to love someone else. But people want to run into a relationship right away, and you still toe up from just being saved. You still toe up. You still don't know how to act. You still don't know how to treat her like a lady. Until you learn how to love God, you're never going to learn how to love another. Is this hitting home today? Because God spoke to me. I go, you need to bring this. There's some folks that need help. There's some folks that need help right now. We can't give them a lullaby sermon. Tiptoe through the tulips. Help us, God. Help us, God. And so, according to this verse of scripture here, because of their cultural background, women in the Ephesian church had no formal religious training. They didn't. They just got saved. They enjoyed their new freedom to study Christian truths at the time. But their eagerness to learn made them a target for false teachers. Like I said, it's no different today. Especially when a young sister gets saved. Man, don't be looking for a dude right away. Look for Jesus. Let Him love you. Let Him love you. And then ask Him, Lord, bring that shiny knight to me. Someone that loves you. Because if I know that He loves you, He'll love me. But they want to do it so fast. No. I'm lonely. Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. Look what Timothy wrote here. 1 Timothy 3 and chapter 5, verse 3. Look at this. Honor widows who are really widows, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn how to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable to God. So what was Paul referring to when you go back to verse 6? During that time, there was a lot of widows. A lot of husbands had died. You got to remember, back then, they didn't have the technology we have to keep you going. If someone had a gallbladder attack, they died. Because they didn't know how to remove that gallbladder. If someone had diabetes, they didn't have insulin back then. So he died with a sugar overdose. Many things took place and left a lot of women that were widows. But during this time, a lot of false teachers, a lot of men, saw that and they preyed on them. Why is Paul writing this down? Because it happens today too. It's happening no differently. Listen, the only thing that's going to satisfy you and I is not another mate. It's Jesus. It's a relationship with Him. He will fill all the voids in your life and then prepare you for that family life. Can I get an amen? Those of you who inspire to have a family, He will bring it to pass. But let Him do it. Don't step over Him and go after those things that He's saying, don't go there yet. You're not ready. It says right here, look at this, in verse 5. Now she who is really a widow and left alone, trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And these things command that they may be what? Blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Man, I don't know how many families I've counseled where the husband refuses to take care of the need of the family. And rather not do that and have the woman go work. You know people like that? They're all around us. They're all around us. The Bible says mark them, man. Pray for them, man. And God will do something radical, because all it does, it brings hurt. It brings so much burdensomeness in the family. You're burdened every day. It's a struggle. It's not a blessing. God created the family to be a blessing, so that you could lift one another and help one another and pray for one another, love one another. That's what God wants. Look at verse 9 here. Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man, well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. And there's a lot of wonderful sisters in the church. If you were to show them this is something you can do, they would do it. I believe many in here would do that. Wash the feet of their husbands. Wash the feet of their children. And minister them as they're praying. Because in this movie we're about to see, we're going to see just that. A foot washing. Remember, we used to have foot washings at North Park. Oh, that's right. Has anyone ever done a foot washing? Amen. You're praying the whole time. You're washing their feet. You're praying for them. Oh, God, bless this person, God. And we did it the right way. It was men with men, women with women. Yes, yes, yes. They kept it right. They made sure no brother's going to be tickling some sister's foot. They kept it right. Jesus help us. Verse 7 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. There's folks like that. Always learning but never come to the knowledge of the truth. Have you ever been to Bible studies and someone's always asking questions? And yet they don't get it. You tell them the truth and they ask the same thing again. And they ask it again. And they ask it again. Well, it says that these women were forever following new teachings, making them easy targets for the false teachers. Never give a false teacher an opportunity. Can I get amen? And there's some false teaching. I'll tell you where some of the big false teachers are. The ones that have $100 line, $50 line, $20 line, and then they go back and count the offering. Oh, not enough given. We got to take another. Have you been to a church that you took 2-3 offerings?
Yes.
That's a false church. Can I get an amen? That is a false church. Look what they're driving. Look what those false teachers are driving. Look where they're living. You know what they're doing? They're fleecing the seniors, the little old ladies in there. Jesus, help us. My goodness. There's a YouTube video. You guys ought to YouTube search it. Just type in there, 10 richest pastors in the United States. 5 of them got 2 jets. They make over $3 million a year. They got mansions. One of them was Jesse Duplantis. You know who he is?
Yes.
And then there's Kenneth Copeland. Joel Osteen. Oh, Joel Osteen, man.
Can't forget
about it. Yes. It's all about this. It's all prosperity. It's all about that. You know who is another character I didn't realize, but he's the prosperity teacher, and he has a couple of jets, but he's flying under the radar. Shuttlesworth. Yes. He was called out by this one teacher that called him out. And he said, what would you do? He asked Shuttlesworth, what would you do if you were walking in the park and you found a big wallet full of money? Shuttlesworth said, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, the one guy said, wouldn't you want to find out who the owner is and take it to him? I know it's a shocker to some of you, but he's in that group of them. Shuttlesworth did this. He put on his social media, if there's anyone that could donate $1 million, I'll get on my private jet and I'll fly over, shake your hand, and pick up the check. Someone in New York did it. He flew. Thank you. Someone wrote a check for $1 million. I'm telling you. I like what Yolanda said the other day. Honey, all we have is beans and rice and Jesus Christ. That's all we need. That's all we need. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? Thank you, Jesus. We're coming in for a close. We're coming in for a close. But I'm hoping this message helps us. Help us discern these things that are important to us. And pray for people that we know in our life that are, you know, right now they're just misfits in the kingdom. They're not part of the kingdom. They're part of a satanic kingdom that needs to get saved. They need to repent and come out and fall on their face and cry out. Because God wants to save them. You know that. But he needs them to repent. Yeah, because a lot of them are self-deceived. Verse 8 and 9. Now as Jameis and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith. But they will progress no further. For their folly will be made manifest to all, as theirs also was. Let me just say this. Those people that I mentioned earlier that the Lord had me just to call out, if they haven't been exposed, God will expose them. God will pull the covers and expose them. Not to destroy them, but hopefully they come to a place of repentance and cry out to God. Because God is in the saving business. I hope you know that. God will, he will forgive anything you bring to him and ask him for forgiveness. But you got to know that you're in that place that you're doing wrong. And you got to give it to God. But you know what prevents people from going to God like that? It's called pride. They're prideful. They won't come to God because they're prideful. Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. So according to Jewish tradition, Jannes and Jambres were two of the magicians who counterfeited Moses' miracles before Pharaoh. We see this in Exodus right up here. Look at this. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, so the magicians of Egypt, that they also did in the like manner with their enchantments. For every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up the rods. Amen? Because that was the real rod. That was the real deal. Paul explained that just as Moses exposed, it defeated them. Look at this right up here. Now the magicians so worked with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice on man and beast. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart grew hard and did not heed them, just as the Lord had said. Why was Paul bringing us to this? Because during those times, during that day, false teachers would come in. Even they would come into the church as magicians. Instead of the real miracle, it would be a false miracle. And so God would overthrow the false teachers who were plaguing the Ephesian church at the time. And while the false teachers' threat to the church was very real, both across the Roman world and also in our world today. And so we're coming in for a close. Verse 10, but we only have two verses, verse 10 and 11. But you have carefully followed my teaching. That's what doctrine means. Manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. Perseverance. Let me ask you this. Do you feel that's the character that God has given you? Yes. Yes. Number one, He has given us purpose, right? He has given us faith. And some of you are long-suffering to people that literally abuse you, curse at you. Some of you are long-suffering. And God's going to bless you somehow, some way. As a child of God, He knows your pain. He knows it's not going to always be like this. He's going to bless you with His love, and He's going to give you the opportunity to persevere. Praise God. You see, look at this. The word endurance can also be translated steadfastness, referring to a person's ability to remain strong under pressure. And I believe the saints in this church here has that type of perseverance. Can I get amen? That's right. To hang tough, to go through things, and to trust on God. And so we close with verse 11 here. Persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Saints of God, let me just say this. I don't care what you're going through right now. God will deliver you through it. Can I get amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I don't care if it's finance. I don't care if it's relational. I don't care what the case may be. Addictions, whatever. God will deliver you. Even the secret sins that you won't reveal to no one. God will deliver you. Can I get amen? Amen. He'll bring you to a place where you're saying, man, I'm tired of this. And I'm going to give it to you, God. And then He will bless you. He will enrich in you. He'll give you a life worth living for. Did you know living this life, it's a fight. It's a battle until He comes for us. God is saying, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Hang on to Him. Don't let Him go. Are things going to get better? No, we see that they are not. Matter of fact, they're going to get worse. But if you could bear what Paul did, what about your situation that you're going through? This is what he went through. Look at this. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure. Look at this. In prisons more frequently. He would be in prison wherever he went. Look at this. In stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. Meaning, he almost died many times. From the Jews, 5 times, I received 40 stripes minus one. If you did the math, he was beaten over 100 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. And he wasn't smoking a hookah. He was literally stoned by rocks and boulders. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Night and day I have been in the deep, in journeys often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness, often in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things which come upon me. What? Daily. My deep concern is for all the church. He shared that. He went through that so that we can have the Word of God today, that if He can make it, we can make it. Can I get an amen? How many believe we can make it? Come on, raise up your hand. Give God a shout. We can make it. I don't care what the devil throws at your way. We can make it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And listen, that one we talked about that abuses you, God, let go and let God. Watch God do something so radical, not to hurt that person, but to win that person. Can I get amen? One day that person's going to get it, and we'll be praising God with you. Hallelujah. With the real deal. Hallelujah. It won't be something that's phony baloney. Can I get amen? And so, Bible says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His what? Faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. What are you desiring right now? What are the situations right now in your life that you need God to change? Is it you? It may be us. It may be me. I may need a paradigm change. Maybe it's me. Because we love to do this. And when we do that, there's three looking right back at us. It might be us. So let's ask God right now. We're going to pray. Let's pray for everyone right now in here. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank You for this day. And Lord, I know, Lord, there are some things that are tough to hear. But God, it's to strengthen us. It's to help us. It's to allow us to see truth in the times and days that we live in. I pray, oh God, that You would help us, Lord, through our afflictions. Help us through our relationships. Help us through our finances. Help us through our health. Help us raise up children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Help our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, oh God. Lord, allow us to leave a legacy behind that they can see faithfulness in us, that we were there for them, and that You are there for us, God, and that You will never leave us nor forsake us. I pray, oh God, for the power of the Holy Spirit right now to come upon us right now in the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands, saints. Lift up your hands. Hallelujah. Thanks. Father, fill us right now with the power of Your Holy Spirit. Yeah. Right now, God. Hallelujah. From the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, oh God. Oh God, touch Your people right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, let Your power rule and reign upon us. Hallelujah. Fill us with overflowing. Hallelujah, with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh God, turn those dark things into bright things in our life, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we're looking unto You, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And so, God, bless this day, oh God. Bless the rest of this day. Bless the meal we're about to receive in a moment, God. And then bless the movie that we're about to partake in. So God, thank You, Lord. Thank You. And I'm praying right now for those who are viewing Facebook and YouTube. Maybe, just maybe, you've never given your heart to the Lord. We're going to give you that opportunity right now. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. If that is you, bow your heart and your head and pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.